Blog Talk Radio.
Somebody shout hallelujah to the King tonight. Church, are you ready to take back all that the enemy has stolen? Reclaim the systems of this world. For the kingdom of this world, I become the kingdom of our Lord. How come we walk around and tell them, take it back, take it back, take it back, take it back, take it back. Tonight, Father, we reclaim the mountains. We go forth in the power and authority. Come on, SC, lift it down. Say, can't you hear?
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless his holy name, for we're excited and delighted to be here on the broadcast another Monday with celebrating Jesus. That's what we're doing. We're just proclaiming the gospel of Christ. This is Prophetess Teresa Docks, and I am here standing in for Evangelist Hannah to bring forth the man of God, Apostle Flowers. We're excited about another awesome word as he has brought forth, being led by the Spirit of God. We are going to bring him forth in just one moment. We just want to welcome everybody to the lines. We want to just, for those that we haven't had an opportunity to tell you, Happy New Year's. We're excited about what God is doing, where God is getting all the glory for these lines and for what we're doing. And we're just coming to agreement that as the man of God go forth, that God God is with him, and that the angels are of the Lord is before him. Father, we thank you for this hour. Lord God, we give you honor and glory for what you're doing. Father, we ask you right now that you would cover the man of God with your anointing. Father, with everything that he stands in need of. We ask you right now, Father, to just use him in such a mighty way. And Father, we cover the listeners, Father, even those that are on the internet, those that are on the phone lines, and even those that have called in through the streaming television, through Skype. Father, we just ask you right now, Father, that you would use him, and let the ear gates of your people be open, Father. Let it be fertile ground, Father. Let the word of God penetrate their being, Father. Let their lives be changed because of the anointing, Father. In the name of Jesus, we say amen and glory to God. And we just thank you, Father, for what you're doing in Jesus' name. We just want to bring forth Apostle Flowers. Apostle, are you on the line?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, I am. God bless you, woman of God. Thank you for having me.
God bless you, and Happy New Year's to you and your wife,
you too.
Prophetess April. I haven't had an opportunity to fellowship with you, but I'm expecting to do so soon. We're going to relinquish the lines to you at this time. God bless you.
Amen. Well, glory be to God. We thank God again for the internet listener and those that are listening by landline or cell phone. We thank God for you. Thank God for this internet radio global station, Kingdom Builders, and what God is doing. They have definitely been working hard and being on the front line, especially to get the good news of the gospel out. And it's a blessing, and it's not easy, and we just thank God for them, and we just pray that God even begin to release more grace into the lives of our Prophetess Teresa, the founder of our Kingdom Builders, and also Evangelist Hannah as well, and the work that she's doing as well. And I just believe God that God will even begin to expand the borders of our Kingdom Builders and the ministry and what God is doing with you guys. And so I just want Prophetess Teresa and Evangelist Hannah, you guys, to be encouraged in that, and those that are connected with you that are helping and working behind the scenes so far as getting things done and everything. And so I want to encourage you that your labor is not in vain. Keep on sowing, because you shall reap the harvest. The day of reaping is coming, and the Lord will not forget your labor of love or the fruit. You're definitely going to eat of the fruit of your labor. And so we just thank God for just opening up opportunities like these and having it that, as Daniel said, in the last days, the knowledge shall increase. And this is what he was talking about, the way that the gospel gets out and everything. And so we have, you know, television, we have iPods, and we have just many different kind of ways, you know, the gospel is getting out through tracks and so on. It's a blessing. More and more technology is coming out that we can utilize to get the good news of the gospel out, because the word of God said the gospel shall be preached and around the world and heard, and then shall Jesus return. So, you know, the gospel got to get out there. So we just thank God for the ingenuity and everything, and giving people witty inventions and ideas of coming up with different various ways and avenues and so on. So, but it's all for the glory of God, and it's all for the kingdom of God. But But Father, we thank you. We praise you. We bless you, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I can do nothing without you. I am helpless without you. Lord, I humble myself before you, Lord God. And Lord, I ask that you would just use me for your glory and for the kingdom of God. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, help me to articulate your words, God, unto the hearers, Lord, unto the listeners, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, speak through me. Speak and release revelation knowledge, God, and insight, God, in the name of Jesus. Even as I read the Logos word, Lord, let rhema come forth, Lord, let the prophetic come forth, prophetic insight, prophetic utterance be open, God, in the name of Jesus. Let the gifts be stirred, God. Stir up your people, Lord, even in this new year, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you and we praise you, God, and we hold on to your word, God. We hold on to your promises, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord. And Father, you said, be not weary in well-doing. If we faint not, then we shall reap the harvest. And we know, we believe that this is the time for those that are in the kingdom, Lord, your people, to begin to reap the harvest, to reap the promises that you have promised and ordained, even concerning our life, even before the foundations of the world. And we ask you, Lord, to help us to walk the straight and narrow path, God, and to walk uprightly before you in holiness and in righteousness, because your word said, without holiness, no man can see the Lord. We want to see you, Lord. You weren't just talking about when we cross over into the other life, into eternity, and come home into your kingdom, that we can see you. But you were talking about here, Lord, that you want to visit us, that you want to show yourself, you want to manifest yourself unto us. You want us to see your angelic hosts, your angelic beings. You want us to have encounters, supernatural encounters with you, because you're the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And that's what you mean. That's why we have to live right, God, and walk uprightly before you, so that we can have these encounters with you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, and that's what we desire, God, and that's why we experience the tests and trials in our life, Lord, that you may purge us and cleanse us, so that we can just walk a little bit closer to you, so that you can reveal a little bit more of your kingdom, your mysteries, and your secrets unto us, Lord. And Lord, I ask that you continue to bless, God, Prophetess Teresa, God, and Evangelist Hannah, God, Lord, in the work that they're doing, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for resources, God. Thank you, Lord God, for even opening up more divine connections and opportunities, God, for them, Lord, and bless their ministries, God, in the name of Jesus. Bless them, Lord, and increase them the more, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, in these end times, God. And Lord, we forever give your name all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor. And I come against witchcraft and black magic and voodoo, hoodoos, hexes, and chants and spells, incantations, and candle burning and incense burning, Santeria, all different forms of witchcraft that is being released against the saints of God, that's being released against the people of God, that is being released against the men and the women of God. We cancel the assignment of the enemy. Even on tonight, we come against mind control and mind-binding spirits. In the name of Jesus, we bind every spirit of Ahab and Jezebel. In the name of Jesus, every dark art, every dark spirit, every dark force, I bind spirits of premature death and sickness and disease. I rebuke it right now, and I send it back to the pits of hell where it belongs. In the name of Jesus, and Lord, I thank you for covering the listeners, God, with your blood, Lord, and covering us with your blood, our homes, our families, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we forever give your name all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. If the enemy is defeated, your word declares that we win. We win. And Lord, let us walk in that victory, walk in that liberty wherewith you have made us free, and that we will not be entangled again with the yokes of bondage, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we bless you right now in Jesus' mighty name. Thank God. Amen. And amen. Well, God bless you. And even as our prophetess Teresa said, Happy New Year. I know it's been a little minute since you heard my voice and heard me back on the broadcast, but God is good. Amen. It's an honor and a privilege to minister unto the people of God, and I take that not lightly. And so I just thank God for you, and I just want you to be in high expectation. I always encourage the people of God, wherever God may send me to minister, or even when we minister, you know, even at our own church, my wife and myself, or whatever, and I always like to tell the people of God to always be in high expectation. Get out of that place of being, you know, passive, or I'm just going to hear, you know, just hearing a word from God or hearing another message or something like that, you know, just another word, you know, or a guest speaker, just hearing another word with no expectation. God always wants you to have expectation. God always wants you to put a demand and pull on the man of God or the woman of God's mantle that is standing before you, because that's not them. They're are representatives of the kingdom. They are ambassadors. They are speaking on behalf of our Father. They are representing Jesus Christ. So it's not just a mere man or a mere woman standing there. So God never really wants us to be in a place where we get familiar with the man of God or familiar with the woman of God or get familiar with our pastors or with our leaders, because when we get into that place of familiarity, then we really don't have no reverence or no respect for the man or for the woman of God. I'm not talking about reverence them like God, but I'm talking about reverence the anointing that is upon their life, that we can be able to receive from them when they're delivering the word of God, if they're delivering correction or rebuke. So God don't want us to be in a place where, you know, we're not respecting them or not hearing what they saying because, oh, we're familiar with, oh, that's just such and such, oh, that's just sister such and such, it's all and everything. So then we're not going to, when it comes time for them to deliver the word of God to you, then you're not going to be in a position to receive for what God wants to do in your life. So never get into a place where you tend to get familiar with the man or the woman of God. Again, always be in high expectation, looking for a miracle, looking for an answer to your problem, to your situation, or what you may be going through in your life, because I don't know about you, but I would be tired of going through cycles in my life. Aren't you tired of going through cycles in your life? Don't you just want some things to come to an end? Yes, God wants some things to come to an end. When you go through something, that's the key word right there. You're just going through. You're passing through. God never designed for you just to stay there or stay in a thing or stay in a situation. That's why you have in the natural, for example, school. When you go to school, you start out in grammar school. You start out in kindergarten or pre-K. Now they got pre-K. You start out in pre-K and then you go on to, you begin to develop and you go on to kindergarten, and you develop from kindergarten, you go on to the first grade, pass you on to the first grade, and then you begin to learn, and then as you do that and begin to your growth and your development, then you begin to pass on to the next grade level, and then from that, then you begin to take tests on your knowledge and so on, so you can go on. So that's what we experience in our life with our Father. He never designed for us to stay in one place. It's his desire and his will for us to go to the next place in him, the next dimension. I don't like to say the next level, but the next dimension, the next realm in the spirit in him, to go into higher heights and deeper depths. It was never God's intention for us to stay in the same place and be stagnated. God don't want us to be stagnated. So if you're in a place of stagnation, this is a new year. This is time for you to shake it off and time for you to break that stagnation off of you, and it's time for you to begin to run for the Lord and begin to run for him and say, I'm not going to continue to go through the same stuff that I experienced and went through last year or the year before and the year before that. And so, no, it's time for a change in your life. And that's why God brings forth a time of testing, a time of trying in your life, so it can bring you out of that place of being comfortable, so it can bring you out of that place of passivity, so it can bring you into a place where God has placed potential on the inside of you that you're not aware of, so God can pull all that out of you, which have been in part in you from you going and you sitting in Sunday school or in a weekday Bible study and hearing the Sunday message, and those are impartations that are taking place. So now God said, now it's time to pull these things out of you and see what's in you, and so that you can begin to move in that and not stay in the same place. God don't want you to be a bench warmer saint. He don't want you to just come to church and just sit there and sit on the bench and warm up the seats and just, you know, give your tithes and offer and be a consumer in the house of God. God wants you to be a partaker. God wants you to utilize the gifts and the talents that he has given you in the house of God and not be selfish with it, because they don't belong to you anyway. We are a gift to the body, just like the offices are a gift to the body of Christ. It's not for us. We can't do what we want to do, and all these are my gifts. This is, you know, my anointing. None of it belongs to us anyway. God gave it to us freely. Freely we receive, freely we are supposed to give. And, you know, I hear people going around saying, you know, my anointing, I want to release this and that. No, you know, it's God's anointing. God has entrusted us with that anointing. Yes, we pay a price for the anointing. That's why we go through, experience some things in our life, some hardships, some times of trials and tribulations and testing, because God is releasing the anointing. We're paying a price for the anointing so that God can use us to help set the captives free and utilize that anointing so that yokes can be broken and destroyed and chains of bondage and song can be broken in the lives of people that are going through, because you have first been there. You know what it's like. So God has delivered you and broke you through, and you paid the price for it. So now God want to use that to help use you to help break others through. That's the purpose of the anointing. That's what God gives us the anointing for. It's not for us, but it's to bring forth deliverance into the lives of others. The gift is to edify, for edification, exhortation, and for comfort. That's what the prophetic is. That's what we're supposed to be, the prophetic, to edify, to exhort, and to comfort is for the body of Christ. That's what God gives us the gifts of the Spirit for, so that we can minister to the body, so that we can minister to those that need to hear from God, that are going through it. It seems like there's no way out of their situation or what they're going through. Then you can, by you being sensitive and utilizing the gift that God has given you to minister to those that need to hear from God. Because, amen, you are the light in the midst of darkness. Or when a person is going through, it seems like they're going in a dark place or between a rock and a hard place, God will use you to encourage them and to give them words that will help break them free and bring them out of their situation. But amen. But I just bring you greetings. Again, I'm Apostle Flowers, and you're listening to Restore the Paths to Dwell In. Amen. Praise God, because God wants to bring restoration into the lives of his people. God wants to repair some things in your life. He wants to repair marriages, families, and homes, and that's what God is about. The potter wants to put you back together. Then God is about making his people whole. And I know I've heard some people say, well, you can make it on broken pieces, but I want to say to you in this year, God just don't want you making it on broken pieces, but God wants you to be whole in this year. This is the year that God wants you to be whole in every area of your life. Notice, when Jesus went about delivering the people and healing people in his ministry, notice some he said, be healed, and they were healed. And notice some that he said, be made whole. And there's a difference between being healed and be made whole. And I'm like, what are you saying, preacher? What is the difference? To be made healed is what it is. Whatever condition or song that person may have is being healed from. But to be made whole is to be made whole in every area of one's life. That's what it means to be made whole. So certain ones Jesus told them to be made whole. So that means they were made whole in their finances. They were made whole concerning their physical health. They were made whole concerning whatever it is that they have lost in their life, whatever it is that the enemy have stolen and taken away from them that have cost them. When Jesus spoke be made whole, they were restored of everything in their life. And so this is the time where God wants you to be made whole, not just healed, but he wants you to be made whole. And that's why Paul said, Beloved, I wish above all that you prosper, that prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prosper. So Paul just wasn't talking about one area. So God wants you to prosper, and then he wants you to prosper in good health, even as your soul prosper. So what good is prosperity if you're sick in your body, if you got cancer or, you know, you got different things going on with you physically, so you can't really enjoy the prosperity of the Lord. You can't, because you have millionaires and wealthy people, you know, have all the money in the world, and they have a sickness in their body that cannot be cured, an incurable disease, that nothing that the doctor can do or help them. So concerning their physical body, so now they've been miserable. They can't buy healing and so on. They got all this money, but they just miserable. There's nothing that they can do. But notice Paul said, even as your soul prospers. So not only that, God wants us to have prosperity, but God wants us to be healthy and whole. Amen. Not sick, not dealing with any infirmities or diseases or anything like that, so that we can enjoy the prosperity. But not only that, but how can we enjoy the prosperity if, you know, if our soul is not prospering? Because our soul have a lot to do with it as well. You know, if we're depressed, if we're dealing with being tormented in our mind, we ain't going to be able to enjoy it anyway, of the prosperity. We're not going to enjoy the blessings of God, because now we walk around with schizophrenic and just all kind of things going on within our soulish area, the soulish realm. So God wants that area to be in line and to prosper as well. So when all those three are in line, then you can be able to enjoy the blessings of the Lord. But what I want to minister to you on tonight is dealing with the mind. This is all tying in with dealing with your mind in this new year, that God is dealing with the body of Christ and dealing with our mind, our way of thinking, because the battleground is the mind. That's where the warfare is, that is in the mind. Notice you go through some throughout the day. You come under attack. I'm talking to the people of God. I'm talking to those of you that are in the kingdom. You know what I'm talking about, especially when it comes to spiritual warfare. You're going through things the enemy using different ones, because our fight is not against flesh and blood. And so you may go through, come under attack with, you know, from a supervisor, a manager, or a coworker, somebody at a job, or maybe a family member, somebody close to you, or a neighbor, or just some, just the enemy just use somebody to come up against you, you know, during the day. And then notice, when you go to lay your head down at night, you know, you pray, you know, you read the word or something like that and everything, then next thing you know, you're trying to meditate on the things of God and just, you know, just put your mind, your thought on the Lord. But all of a sudden, what happened to you, just come back to your mind, that attack that you came under, you know, just come to your mind, and then you begin, you know, begin to battle, you know, this person did this and did that to me, and so on. Or, you know, these thoughts come to your mind, oh, that you received a pink slip earlier that day, and you received not so good news, and so on. All of a sudden, this stuff starts flooding in your mind, or you're going through in your marriage, or one of your children acting up or ran away from home, or some. All of a sudden, all this stuff, you're going through your finance, the bank account is in the negative and everything, and here you are, you're trying to pray, you're trying to put your mind, your focus, your thoughts on the things of God, and all of a sudden all the stuff just flooding in your mind and in your thoughts, and how this person hurt you, and so on. All the stuff all of a sudden just attacking your mind and your thoughts and everything. And so this is what God wants to deal with, and the thoughts of the past. You know, memory recall is coming back up, stuff that happened to you years ago that you have quite not dealt with or got deliverance from. And some of you may have experienced being molested as a child or taken advantage of by a family member, and so on. You've quite not dealt with that thing or got deliverance from it, and then from time to time it comes back to your mind and to your thought and to your thinking. But God want to uproot these things. Our Father's about dealing with things from the root. So these things tend to come in and flood thoughts of the past and so on and everything, which is hindering many of us but from walking in our future because of the past. God don't want things from your past hindering you from moving forward in your future. And God definitely don't want it to do that in this new year that you have embarked into and that God allowed you to see. Because there are many people that did not cross over into this new year, did not see this new year. And there are people that have seen cross over into the new year but didn't even see the next day after the new year. And so God has blessed you. If you're still in the land of the living, you are blessed. And some people ask me how you're doing, how's your day, you know, and I let people know, you know what, 6 feet above dirt is a good day any day. And so I just thank God for that, you know, that I'm still in the land of the living, and it still gives me an opportunity to share the good news of the gospel and also to do what God has given me the opportunity to do, just give me another day and another opportunity to, you know, to complete or to do the work of the Lord in this day that he has made. And that's what God wants us to do, because, you know, I know the word of God, I believe James said, our life is like a vapor, I believe. And you know what? One minute we're here, next minute we're gone. Just that quick. You know, time go by real fast. Notice time just fly by real fast. So we have to, you know, I believe David said that our days are numbered, and which our days are numbered. So we got to utilize every day and live every day as if it was our last day, and have a mindset to, Lord, how can I be a blessing to someone else? How can I encourage someone else, God? How I want to fulfill what you have sent me here to do. I know I'm not just here to be here. I know I'm not an accident. I know some of you had to deal with, you know, it being said to you growing up, negative words released into your life, saying that you were an accident, you were a mistake. Your mother said it to you, or your own father said it to you, or a family member said, oh, you was a mistake, you was an accident. While you know you were not a mistake, no, you were not an accident. God has purposed you to be here. He had a plan and a purpose for your life, regardless of how you got here. You are here, and know that God is going to use you if you allow him to do so, and you seek him out concerning why you are here, your purpose here in this earth realm. But if you can, go with me quickly to James, the first chapter. James, the first chapter, starting at the second verse. Get a pad, get a pen, just begin to write these scriptures down and begin to refer to them, go back to them in your own time. So I want to encourage you to, do so and go back and meditate upon them, Selah, ponder, think on, meditate on in your own time. So James, the first chapter, starting at the second verse, it said, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." So what God is doing, he's developing patience within you as you're experiencing a time of testing, as you're experiencing going through diverse temptations. The Lord wants you to count it all joy. He don't want you to murmur or complain, because God is developing faith in you, because your faith is working patience, that the Word of God says here in James. So allow the Lord to develop you, because God is doing something with you. God is taking you somewhere. That's what God is doing with you. So he wants you to rejoice. And I know you're saying, how can I rejoice when, my car broke down or I just lost my job? How can I rejoice in that? The Word of God said, count it all joy. Amen. Be content in whatsoever state that you find yourself in, that you are in, knowing that what you're in is only for a season. Begin to praise your way out. Begin to thank God. Amen. Begin to give him the glory, because his ways are not like, as the Word of God said, our ways. We can't understand the ways of God. His ways are past finding. So it's just amazing how, the kingdom of God operates, how God operates. He don't operate according to our thinking, according to our intellect. So this is a faith walk. So that's why we have to trust him. That's why we have to believe him. And that's why we have to praise him and bless him. And that's what kept the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness, because they were murmuring and they were complaining. And that which caused a cycle, them walking in circles, around and around and around and around. Around and around and around we go. Where we stop, nobody knows. So that's what happened. And you don't want that to happen with you. You don't want to continue to go through somewhere seem like it's never ending. And I was recently talking with a man of God, and he was sharing with me some things that he was going through, and he felt kind of discouraged and everything, and felt like just wondering, God, are you really listening? Are you really hearing me? I'm just really going through some things and stuff, and he was like to the point where he didn't really want to hear another prophetic word or anything and stuff, and then he got kind of like just really just really discouraged and kind of down and out. So I just had to, encourage him, with the word of the Lord and how we got to remember sense of God, that we say yes to God. When we made up our mind to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, especially those of us that have been called and chosen by God, amen, to wear the cloth, so to speak, or to minister from the fivefold ministry gift office, that, we've got to remember that we say yes, and that it's going to cost you. You're going to pay a price. You think the enemy is going to let you just freely go and minister and help bring deliverance to the lives of the people that he's been holding captive, for some people for many years and half of their life, and all of a sudden God used you to come to break them free from their bondage or bring forth deliverance or cast demonic spirits out of them, those that have been tormented or demonized and so on and everything, and you're speaking and prophesying and God is bringing it to pass, and you're laying hands on those that have been sick in their body or speaking healing to those that are sick and they're being healed and everything. You think the enemy is not going to come and challenge you and come up against you to discourage you and everything. And so I just had to encourage him with that the Word of God said, those that live godly are going to suffer persecution, going to suffer. Amen. We're going to go through some things. Amen. But the Lord is with us. I don't want to say this, for nobody to get afraid and this and that. No, we have the greater one living on the inside of us. But know this, that we are going to pay a price. Amen. And even in these last days, in these end times, great persecution is going to hit the church. That's how we're going to see the great manifestation of miracle signs and wonders. That's what happened in the early church. They didn't move in signs and wonders into persecution. Hit them, and it's going to be the same thing in these last days that we are in. I know we've been crying out and praying, God, Lord, we want to see miracle signs and wonders, so get ready for the persecution. If you can't handle a little persecution in your life, how are you going to be able to handle the great persecution that is about to come. They're already talking about trying to pass a law, the law here in Illinois, for the same-sex marriages, for gay marriages here in right here in Chicago. So they got it on the table. So I want to encourage you to, those of you I know pretty much have heard about it, and I hope those of you are taking a stand and praying and writing, amen, against this and everything. This is all just like Sodom and Gomorrah all over. They already passed it in other states, in Minnesota and many other states, about same-sex marriages and everything. So this is Sodom and Gomorrah all over again, and it's not going to do anything but to release the judgment and the wrath of God upon our nation because of it. That's why it's very important for we, the people of God, kingdom-minded people, to stand in the gap and to pray concerning those that the Word of God say that are in authority, and pray for those that are right, our laws, you know, the legislative branch, you know, and pray for the three branches, the judicial branch, the executive branch, pray for all three of these branches and everything, and those, the lawmakers, that write these laws and so on and everything. But we have to continue to be watchmen on the wall and pray. So that's why God is getting us prepared and getting us ready, because they are having it so that if you begin, if they pass this law and you speak out against it, I'm talking about preachers, leaders, and pastors and so on, whoever speak out against this, they're talking about 5 years in prison and revoking those that are pastors, their 501c3 status in everything, especially refusing to marry the same sex and everything. So this is where, when I'm talking about the persecution that is about to come, will you stand? Are you going to be the one to say, you know, no, I'm not going to compromise. I'm talking to you pastors. I'm talking to you leaders that have the authority to marry. Amen. So are you going to take a stand, and are you going to compromise? Or are you going to say, no, I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to bow. Are you ready, amen, for the persecution that is about to come? But I'm not talking about being nasty with it. I'm not talking about, bashing and like it had been done over the years. The Word of God said, with loving kindness have I drawn thee, and that's how we're supposed to draw. God has drawn us with his loving kindness. He never intended for us to take the Word of God and to begin to bash people with it. And bash, sin is sin. Amen. So he never intended for us to do it and be nasty with it and saying, oh, you know, that gay person, or, you know, excuse my French here, you know, that faggot and so on. I've heard these words over the pulpit in my years in ministry. And at one point, the enemy had me like that, being harsh and mean, because of what I was under and what I was taught, and that was the wrong way. How can we win and draw them if we're bashing them and we're saying the wrong words and harsh things and everything? I wouldn't want to come either. And so we have to speak the truth, as the Word of God said, in love. We have to win them over with love. Amen, and we know that the Holy Spirit and deliverance, we win them in, bring them in, amen, and then begin, let the Holy Spirit begin to do the work and use wisdom when it comes, amen, to the lost souls that are out there walking in darkness. So in verse 5 it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And so that's where wisdom comes in. The Word of God said, he who wins souls are wise. So that's why we got to pray and ask our Father for wisdom. Lord, give me wisdom. It says here that he would give it freely and not withhold it from us, or withhold it from those that ask of him. Amen. For wisdom. So we need wisdom in everything that we do. We need wisdom to win, the souls out here. We need wisdom when it comes to our marriages, our raising our children, when it comes to handling finances, when it comes to even doing the work of the kingdom. And we just need the wisdom of God to be in operation in our life. Amen. So verse 6 it said, but let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavers like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So God don't want us to be double-minded like we were, you know, was in time past and everything. We pray and we believe God, and then storm hit, and then next, you know, we don't believe God, then we believe God again, then next something hit, next minute we don't believe God again. God don't want us to be double-minded or unstable, because it says that think that you should not receive anything of the Lord. So stand on what you know that you know. Not allow any storms, any winds, any tornadoes that will try to come or blow to shake your faith, to shake your walk in God. God wants you to have a made-up mind. He wants you to be rooted and grounded in him, and that's why he said to Peter, when Peter got the revelation, when Jesus asked, who do men say that I am? And these disciples, different ones, came up with their, you know, the idea that people say that you're this or that, such, 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 and I believe that you're this. And Peter just began to say, you know, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus knew that flesh and blood did not reveal that to Peter, but his Father, which is in heaven. And he said, no longer your name shall be called Simon, but it shall be called Peter, the rock. And he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, the gates of hell, will not prevail. So you are the church that the Lord is placing, is building upon us, upon that rock, which is him, the chief cornerstone, that rock, which is Jesus Christ. We are the church. Amen. So God wants us to be on that rock, that solid foundation, that when the gates of hell do try to come up against us, knowing that we have that assurance that it will not prevail. Amen. That nothing will, like I said, would cause us to waver or shake our faith, no matter what we may see, look like going wrong with our natural eyes, no matter what we may hear, negative reports that may try to be spoken or released, that I'm not going to receive what it's saying, because I believe the report of the Lord. I'm not going to believe what I'm hearing, this negative report. I don't care what it looked like. I don't care what I'm hearing, but I'm standing on the word of God. I'm holding fast to the word of God, and I'm not going to allow anything to shake me. Amen. Now go with me down to the 12th verse. It said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Temptation is going to come. The enemy is always going to bring temptation. And when we mess up as saints of God, you have some people in the church that does not have a lack of understanding, or actually have the lack of understanding when it comes to the word of God, because they ain't really studied the word of God. They will say that it's God tempting them. Well, it was God that brought this. God don't tempt any man. God don't bring temptation to any man. As the word of God says here, it says here that let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. And so you hear it right here in the word of God. So we know that God don't tempt any man. God tests man, but God don't tempt you with evil. He don't tempt you with sin. That's the enemy. That's the devil. That's the wicked one. That is Satan that brings temptation to you. And let's go back to dealing with the mind. So that's what I'm talking about. This is where the battleground, that's where the warfare is at. And so I want to go to Mark, the 4th chapter, and the 20th verse. I know my time is almost about up, running out, but just go with me to Mark, the 4th chapter, 20th verse, and say, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. How many of you tired of bringing just a 30-fold blessing, just getting Just, you know, a few trickles, you know, here and there. And then some, you're getting some blessings, some 64, you know, in between. But how many want the 100-fold blessing? Amen. I want the 100-fold blessing. Amen. So that's what God wants us to have. God wants us to walk in that. God wants us to walk and to have his best. And God wants us to have that even concerning our mind, our thinking. He wants it to be fruitful, not have that negative thinking, unclean thinking, stinking thinking, perverted type of thinking, vengeful type of thinking, retaliation, and all, you know, just the wrong thoughts, you know. And that's the ground. That's the mind right there. That's the ground right there. You heard me say the battleground. He wanted to be on good ground. But let me give you a definition of ground from the Christian dictionary. It said, the surface of the earth, soil, land, used for a particular purpose, the foundational basis for an argument, belief, or action. And there are three types of ground that one deals with. Just like, you know, we are three-part beings. Think about dealing with, the mind. There's the stony ground. Then there's the thorny ground. So I want you to go with me to Galatians. Now, the 5th chapter, I want to talk about the stony ground and the thorny ground. And this is dealing with the mind, dealing with our thinking and what we wrestle with in our life. In Galatians, the 5th chapter, starting at the 17th verse. So go with me, turn your Bibles, amen, to Galatians, the 5th chapter, starting at the 17th verse. Amen. It's dealing with, like I said, it's dealing with your you know, your mind, your way of thinking that God wants to, don't want you to walk in this year, that God wants to bring you out. You change your mindset, a paradigm shift in your thinking in this new year. He don't want you to be in, have the same thinking, the defeated thinking, that poverty thinking mindset, that you know, doubtful thinking in this new year, that it was not going to happen for me in this year. God wants you to change your mindset, change your way of thinking in this new year, that it can happen, that it is going to happen for you. And so in Galatians, the 5th chapter, starting 17th verse, it says, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifested." Now this is what I'm talking about, the stony ground and thorny ground here. And it said, now, and it says here, which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies. Verse 21, envying, murders, drunkenness, reviling, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, this is the word of God. Now, God, as you heard me say, want us, according to Mark, the 4th chapter, 20 verse, he wants us to have, be on that, you know, that good ground. Amen. He wants our mindset to be fruitful. He wants us to be fruitful. He wants to be that. Want us to be that good ground. And you go down to verse 22. I'm going to read verse 22 through 25, talking about the good ground here. Our mind, where he wants our mindset to be, where he wants us to be concerning our character and everything. So it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." You hear that? And let me just read verse 24. "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections of the lust." So that's what was taking place. That's what happened with crucifying, amen, our flesh, amen, our way of thinking. What you're doing, you're bringing it under subjection. That's why the word of God said, "Think on these things, those things that are lovely, those things that are just, those things that are pure, those things that are of a good report." Amen. So we are to think on those things. So that's fruitful thinking. God is all about productivity. "So as a man thinketh, so is he." So if you're thinking, "Oh, I'm never going to be or never have," that's what's going to happen. So if you're thinking prosperous, "I will have," and so on, and everything, and concerning, you know, the you know, the kingdom of God, and so on, so you will. "So you shall have whatsoever that you say." Amen. The words that come out of your mouth, "You shall, the man shall eat the fruit thereof," because life and death comes from what? The mouth. The power of life and death comes from the tongue, the mouth. And James talks about that. Can maintain, you know, the tongue and or bridle this tongue? No, it's a hard thing to do. This tongue started many wars. The tongue got people, you know, killed and sown and everything. This tongue is a dangerous thing. You know, this tongue, words that have been released, man, negative words, you know, to tear down one's per character, you know, character assassination and so on. They have destroyed the lives of many people. That's why you have, as you call those, suicide bombers, because of words and which have been spoken into them, and doctrine, they've been indoctrinated, or because of words that have been released. And that's why you have serial killers and so on, things that have happened in their lives and the words that have been spoken and so on and everything. And so because of the tongue. And so again, beloved, God wants us to have, be on good ground. Amen. He wants our thinking to be on good ground. So I want to ask you the question, what ground do you stand on? What foundation of belief? So what is your foundation? What is your belief? I'm not talking about, you know, I'm not talking about a religion or anything like that, but I'm talking about you standing on the Word of God. You're standing on Jesus Christ, and you have a relationship with the Lord. That's what I'm talking about. Amen. I'm talking about you being fruitful. You're talking about you casting down every wicked imagination, every high thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into the captivity and the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10 and 5. In Romans 8 and 5 through 8, it talks about how we walk in the flesh and so on, everything is enmity against God. It means we say, God, I hate you. It's hatred against God. I hate you. When I walk in my flesh, I don't care, God, I'm rebelling against you. You know, I'm saying that I hate you. Look it up, beloved. Enmity means hatred. And so that's what you're saying to God. When you're thinking in the flesh, when you're operating out of your own intellect, you're actually telling God, you know, I don't trust you. You're actually operating out of your five senses, what you can touch, what you can smell, what you can hear, what you can taste, and what you see, instead of walking in the realm of faith. And as you heard me say, that we are three, made up of three part being, spirit, soul, and body, which the spirit is always willing, comes from God. The soul deals with the thoughts, the reasoning, our emotions to do good or evil. Our body is the flesh, which is the vessel that acts out our thought processing, you know, whether it's going to be good or evil. So we're going to operate out of either one. So that's why that warfare is constantly going on between the spirit and the flesh. Amen. That operation going on. The spirit is willing, as you heard me say, but the flesh is weak. You know, the flesh warring against the spirit, and the spirit warring against the flesh. That's what the word of God say likewise. And so who are you going to let be dominant in your life? You're going to let the spirit man, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, be the dominant one? Or you're going to let your flesh, which brings death, amen, work of death, and brings death. It kills the things of the spirit when you walk in carnality or when you walk in your flesh. Amen. So the word of God says in 1 John, the 2nd chapter, the 16th verse, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And so God don't want us to walk in those things, but constantly humble ourselves through fasting, through prayer. You know, we got to go through season where we do that. Well, you don't have to wait for your pastor to call for a fast, to go on a fast. Amen. Sometimes you just go on a fast, humble yourself. The word of God says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. It just takes us humbling ourselves, repenting, turning away, and seeking the face of God for God to begin to heal our land, to seek the things of the Spirit. Amen. So I'm about to wrap things up, but I want to encourage you not to curse, but to bless. And the word of God says in Psalms 109, I know it says in 17, he that loved cursing, let it return unto his own head. But Jesus said in Matthew 5 and 20, I know it was said an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, but I say to you this day that you bless your enemies and don't curse. He says in Luke 6 and 28, to bless and not curse. Because if you begin to say, oh, I reverse the curse, I send it back to the sinner, you're sending a double curse. You're sending back what they sent to you to curse you, but you're releasing the curse out of your mouth, so you're releasing a double curse. And Jesus said, don't do that. He said, bless and not curse. And when you do that, they are going to be in their deal. If they're not found worthy of the blessing, then it's going to return back unto you anyway, because you're going to receive of that blessing, because you're following the principles of the Word of God, what Jesus said to do. And I'm wrapping things up. So in St. John, the 15th chapter, talks about that Jesus is divine, and we are the branches. So we're connected to him, and it pleases the Father that we bear forth and yield forth much fruit. And that's what God wants us to yield forth in this new year. He wants us to yield forth much fruit. He wants our character to be right, to be in line, so that we can receive the blessing, so that we won't squander it and be like the prodigal son, or so that or that we won't do like those, amen, that God has blessed, amen, but they just hoarded it all up and not thinking about anybody else but just me, myself, and I, my four, and no more. And God did not give man power to get wealth, to hoard it up. God gave man power to get wealth so that he may establish his covenant with them. It's to be not only that you can be blessed, but also to be a blessing to those that are in need, to help the poor and the people of God. And that was the purpose of them laying the money at the apostles' feet. Why do I hear those that stop right there and say, oh, you know, come and lay the money at the apostles' feet, and they just leave it at there? But we got to go further beyond that verse of scripture where it says, they, so that distribution was made. you know, among, you know, given among the people of God, so there won't be none lacking among them. No lacking among the church. That was the purpose of laying money and different things at the apostles' feet. So why do we just stop right there, just use that scripture and take it and just stop right there? No. That purpose was to distribute it to the saints of God so that they can have all things in common. And I believe we're coming back to those days where the church, when this persecution hit, the church is not going to have no choice but to come together. Denominations are not going to mean a thing when persecution begins to hit the body of Christ. One way or another, the body is going to come together. Jesus said, I'm coming back for a body without spot, without wrinkle, or without blemish. And I want to close with Matthew 26. On your own spare time, go and read Matthew 26, chapter 36 through the 42nd verse, where Jesus talked about watch and pray and how Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane. He knew that it was his time, and he was asking, he took Peter, James, and John, those one in his inner circle, and went a little bit further, had them to come a little bit further with him in the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, because he knew that he was about to go to the cross, that he was about to die. And he was praying, God, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. I know sometimes when we're going through some hard times and it seems like, man, you don't know if you can make it, and you just want to just die, deliver me out of this thing. But God don't want to just deliver us out of it. It's a purpose why God is allowing us to go through what we're going through. We can come out prematurely. God don't want us to do that. And so we got to be like God, nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done, because God is working his purpose in your life. And so Jesus had begun to see that, because, you know, Jesus really didn't want to go to the cross. Jesus had a moment. He had a man moment like we do. You know, when we go through our moments, Jesus had one of those moments in the garden. But as he began to pray, and the angel of the Lord came and strengthened him, and he was able to go on, because he knew that he, you know, that's what he came here to do, to pay the price for us. And think about it, what you're going through, you're not going through for you, but you're paying the price for somebody else. So I want you to have that in mind, what you're experiencing, what you're going through in your life. But at this time, amen, I would like to offer those of you that may not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, or you may be in a backslidden state, or you may just have turned away from the Lord, or you may be listening right now, you just want to give your life to Jesus Christ. You know, this time in the new year, it says, I just want to give my life to the Lord. I'm tired of living how I've been living. You know, I want you to know that Jesus loves you, first of all. There's no sin too great or too small that Jesus cannot forgive you for. He will forgive you. That's the purpose that God sent him here to do, to give his life for you, to pay the price for you. So I want to encourage you to repeat after me. Don't believe the lie of the devil saying that God won't forgive you. You did too much in your life. He will not accept you. That's a lie of the enemy. I command you to be loose from that spirit right now, the lies of the enemy, the deception of the enemy. Today is your day. Tonight is your night. Just repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, the Messiah who came in the flesh to destroy the works of the devil. You died on the cross for my sins and rose again from the dead. I now confess all my sins and repent. I claim forgiveness and cleansing. I believe that your blood cleanses me now from all sin. Thank you for redeeming me, cleansing me, justifying me, and sanctifying me in your blood. Lord, I ask that you would fill me with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost and the evidence of speaking in new tongues. And I thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Rejoice, beloved. Angels of heaven in heaven are rejoicing over you on tonight. Amen. So I'm going to turn it over.
Glory to God. If you're over the phone lines or if you're on the internet and you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, Kingdom Builders International would like to send you a Bible or MP3 copy of the Bible. If you do not have one, you can go to our website at www.kingdombuilderplaza.org and let us know. Give us your prayer request. We would love to stand in the faith fight with you. Glory be to God. And also, if you'd like to put a donation to support the ministry and support the broadcast, you can go to the website again at www.kingdombuildersplaza.org. And it is a secure website. Glory be to God. And again, Apostle, I thank you for the the board that you brought forth tonight, as usual, God always use you. Glory to God. So we just give God all the glory and honor for what he's doing in your life, man of God. Glory to God. We do have some callers online, so I'm going to open up the line. If anybody has a prayer request, a testimony, or something to say, you can come forth now. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, God, we just truly honor you. We magnify you, glorify you, God. You're truly worthy of all the glory and honor and praise. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Well, everybody must be full tonight, Apostle. So, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, I cover the man of God in the blood of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, for the word that went forth, God, with might and power by your spirit in the name of Jesus. I bind up any spirit of backlash or retaliation. It may try to come against the man of God because of the word that went forth tonight. I thank you that no weapon formed against him, his family, or his ministry shall prosper, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, for continuing to supply every need for the man of God and his ministry, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. I thank you for your warring angels, Lord God, that's warring on his behalf, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. And I thank you, Father, for continuing to supply every need for the man of God. In Jesus Christ's holy name, I pray, amen, and glory to God, glory to God.
Amen.
Oh, Apostle, do you have any closing words before we close out?
Amen. I know that we are in transition right now. The church, we're no longer at the location that we're at. We're at another temporary location. And we at 16341 Ashland Avenue, and that's in Markham, Illinois. That's where we're temporarily holding service at the location at 16341 Ashland Avenue, which is in Markham, Illinois. And if you need any more information, the number is area code 773-888-3356, and the times are still the same, Sunday at 3 p.m. and Tuesdays at 7 p.m.
Glory to God, glory to God. And also, Kingdom Builders International has 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. prayer Monday through Saturday. You can call 218-895-0280. Again, it's 218-895-0280, and the code is 7729. Glory to God. Glory to God, excuse me. Again, 218-895-0280, and that's 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. Central Time. Glory to God. Join in with us. Come in and get a prayer request. The intercessors are ready to pray for you, to come into agreement with you. Glory to God. And we're still in the process of getting the Prophetic Intercessor Conference together for the Detroit, Michigan area for the end of April. Glory to God. More information will be available on the website, Kingdom Builders Plaza, if it's not on there now also, and you will be able to register also online for the conference. And again, Apostle, we appreciate you. We thank you for being so faithful to the broadcast. Glory to God. And at this time, if no one has any comments or prayer requests, we thank you for tuning in, all the listeners and all the listeners on the Internet. Glory to God. And you continue to have a blessed evening and good night.
God bless. Good night.